today as we come to the table.
Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now notice here, first of all, it says an angel. It doesn't say Michael, it doesn't say Gabriel, which you know are the powerful angels in heaven, one of the cherubim. That might have been one of them. It doesn't tell us who they are. But I find it interesting that the Holy Spirit saw fit not to give us the name of the angel that we would get the point. And that is this: Satan is not that big of a deal. It doesn't say, you know, that he had to send all the forces and all the angels, the two-thirds had to gather around him and corner him, and God had to give him a little bit extra oomph to get him. He said, no, he sent an angel.
There are many things written about peace on earth. What a glorious thought. No more fighting or wars. No more sadness or sickness. The Bible says that will actually happen after the Great Tribulation. Jesus will rule on the new perfect earth for 1,000 years. Peace will finally be a reality. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark teaches that before the 1,000-year rule of Jesus Christ, when perfect peace will exist, Satan has to be bound first. You might think that the mightiest angels will have to fight to bind Satan. They won't. God will use an ordinary angel. He wants you to know Satan is not that powerful. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 20 as he begins his message, Satan Bound, Jesus Reigns.
Now, if you remember last time in Revelation 19, we saw again God judging religious Babylon. We talked about Babylon and God judging it, taking it out of the way, that religion really is in opposition to a relationship with God when it's man's religion. God dealt with that. We saw Jesus coming back on the white horse. If you remember, riding in with King of Kings and Lord of Lords written on his robe and on his thigh. And again, we saw the judgment there of what we call the Battle of Armageddon, which is really much larger than that area and that doesn't even really center there. But we saw that battle. And we saw again all that's going to happen as the earth is finally dealt with and judged before Jesus sets up his millennial kingdom. And today in chapter 20, we get into the millennial kingdom. Now, we hear a lot about the millennial kingdom. What is the millennial kingdom and this type of thing? But the bottom line is that it's, the Bible literally says that Jesus Christ will rule and reign for 1,000 years. And you wonder, well, why in the world would he need to rule and reign for 1,000 years? Because the Father promised that he would give him the earth. In the promise, it didn't say how long it would be. We learn how long it is here. But again, that's never been fulfilled. There's going to be the eternal kingdom that he will rule and reign in. Even though it's already begun now, it will be eternal when it's made new and afresh. We'll see that later in the book of Revelation. But there's a kingdom here on this earth that is yet to happen. And we're going to see today, we're going to rule and reign 1,000 years with him as he takes this kingdom promised him by the Father. Now, where do we see this promise? Again, one of the main verses we see is Isaiah 9:6, which is again the famous Christmas verse, if you will. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now the question is, has the government ever been on the shoulder of Jesus Christ? No. He has defeated the enemy through the cross, and he now rules and reigns from heaven, but he's never sat on an earthly throne to rule and reign. He came as a servant to die the first time. He's coming back to rule and reign, which we'll be celebrating here over the next couple of weeks when we get to Palm Sunday and then look at his resurrection. But again, that's a promise the Father gave him, so now we're going to see this promise is going to be fulfilled. Now, as we get into this, it's going to be broken up into three main segments, although there are four segments you could put it in chapter 20. The three main segments are, we'll see Satan being bound here at the very beginning through the first few verses. Then we'll see the saints ruling with Jesus Christ, him ruling and reigning for 1,000 years and us ruling with him. And then we'll see Satan temporarily released at the very end of the 1,000 years so that God can use him one last time to gather again those that are in rebellion to the Lord. And then we get to the final judgment of the Lord, the final judgment of all things where the Lord's going to bring everyone before him, and there'll be that final judgment we call the Great White Throne Judgment. So we'll break it apart when we get there. Now, what's interesting is a lot of people don't really understand the millennial kingdom. As a matter of fact, I've heard some people even say, well, the millennial kingdom is not literal. It's not something that's really going to happen. It's figurative. Some even say today, this is the millennial kingdom now, that Satan is bound. And I would say with Pastor Chuck, if Satan is bound, he has an awfully long chain, right? That's what I would say. Satan is very obviously not bound. This is not a millennial kingdom. Things are not great, and yet that is still yet to come in the future. And again, I think the reason people say that is they don't take the word of God literally, but God speaks in his word very literally about the millennial kingdom. He doesn't speak about it figurative. He speaks about it literal. And some of the things the Lord says about the millennial kingdom, he says there's going to be children that are there. There's going to be older people that are there. There will still be some sin in the millennial kingdom. Yes, that's right. And it's going to be humans mixed with those that already have their new bodies, those that go in their normal bodies and those that have their new body and then their normal body when they enter in the kingdom of God. So it's going to be a very interesting time. Again, the Bible says in Matthew 25, a lot of people think that Matthew 25 is the final judgment. And that's when we all stand before the Lord. But Matthew 25 is only the judgment of those who make it through the great tribulation. That is, those who survive the great tribulation that we've been looking at in the book of Revelation, the angels were gathered then before the Lord in Jerusalem. We will already be with the Lord. We will already be in our new bodies. He will get the sheep and the goats. The sheep will represent the believers, the goats, the unbelievers. They'll stand before him and he's going to say, hey, you didn't help my people during that time of tribulation. You weren't there. You didn't visit them in prison. You didn't give them food. You didn't give them water. Now, again, it can be applied to today. I get that. There is an application to doing these things for people today. But it specifically relates to the millennial kingdom, who's going to get in and who's not going to get in. And so he'll say to the sheep, enter into the joy of your Lord. They will enter into the kingdom. He'll say to the goats, depart from me. I never knew you. And they'll go to the bottomless pit, which we'll talk a little bit more about in just a moment. But what's it going to be like? What that means is we are going to be there in our new bodies, okay, which I'm glad about. They're going to come in their mortal bodies, which means they will still live out their life. They will die. And if they know the Lord, and of course, everyone going in at first will know the Lord. When they die, they'll get their new body. But here's the real kicker. The Bible says that people will go in still married. There might even be some that are in that sheep and goats judgment that are pregnant at that time. There'll be people getting married during the 1,000-year reign in their mortal bodies. We won't be getting married because we'll be the bride of the Lamb. Now, again, if you're married, you say, I've heard people say, well, I want to be with my spouse forever. You will be closer to your spouse than you've ever been. There's a different level of something. This is just a shadow of what's real. So you'll be much closer, but you're going to be married to the Lord. So it's going to be a whole different setup. I don't know how that's going to be exactly, but don't worry. You'll be satisfied. You'll be filled with joy. Some of you might be saying, hey, it might not be so bad to be separated. No, I'm just kidding. That was a bad joke. Shouldn't have said that. But we're going to be married to the Lord, but they'll be coming in their bodies, which means they'll be having children. They'll be living normal lives. And it will be 1,000 years of generation after generation after generation. Now, on top of that, the Bible also says they're going to be living for hundreds of years again, even the way we did before the flood. When you read the Bible, before the flood, we lived for hundreds of years. As a matter of fact, Methuselah almost lived 1,000 years. Imagine that. Since the time of the garden, there was a guy that lived almost a sixth of the earth's age. That's amazing when you think about it. So people are going to start living that way again, the Bible says. Apparently something happened at the flood. We don't know exactly what. Some creation scientists believe that maybe when all the waters were released above us, that there was a canopy that was released and now the radiation comes in. We don't know. But when the Lord comes back, he's restoring the earth at the way it was. It's going to be a worldwide climate. It'll probably be temperature the same worldwide. Probably no rain during that time. Probably going to be a mist coming up, watering the ground the way it did before the fall. The curse will be reversed. And again, we're going to be in that kingdom, just again, celebrating the Lord and rejoicing in the midst of that kingdom with the Lord and families growing during that time. Now, what's interesting about that is you have to realize the Bible also tells us that, and we're going to see this later on. I'm laying a large foundation before we get there, and we'll see some scripture to explain all this in a moment. But the amazing thing to me is the Bible says during the millennial kingdom, with all these, the earth growing over 1,000 years, probably billions of people by the time we get to the end of the 1,000 years, there's going to be those that will be born during that time who will decide, I'm not going to follow Jesus. I'm not going to give my life to him. As a matter of fact, they will actually rebel to the point that at the end of the 1,000 years we're going to see here, that Satan is going to be released and he's going to gather all those who rebel against Jesus Christ at the end of that 1,000 years and try to attack him and take him one more time. It's ridiculous. It's like, when are you going to learn, right? Didn't you read the Bible over those 1,000 years? How that's all going to happen, I don't know. It's amazing even to imagine that someone would think about that and try it. But if you're like me, you're thinking, how could you see the Lord for all that time and not follow him. You have to believe in him, right? You see him. But there's a big difference in believing and receiving Jesus Christ as Lord. You say, how could anybody see the Lord and not follow him? Well, go with me in your mind back 2,000 years ago. Multitudes saw him, and multitudes rejected. During the millennial kingdom, the Bible tells us once again, multitudes will see him, and multitudes will reject. That's hard for me to even fathom, but that's exactly what the Bible says is going to happen. They're going to see him, they're going to reject, and that's why it's so important. Look, just because you say you believe in Jesus, that's not enough. As it says in James, the demons believe and they tremble. You know, we don't think about the demonic realm as being a bunch of believers. Can you imagine if there were a bunch of demons? And we couldn't do this, but they're behind that wall. And I want to introduce you to a bunch of believers. You know, we open the door and there they are, right? They're believers. They believe in Jesus Christ, maybe more than some of you that are here this morning or watching online if you've never received the Lord. I don't know if I believe that. The demons most certainly do. They've seen him. They know him. They were with him in the kingdom of heaven, and they were kicked out. But they didn't receive him as Lord. And there's going to be many during the millennial kingdom that are going to see him, but they're not going to receive him as Lord. And that's going to come into play as we get into chapter 20. Now, before we get there, I want to look a little bit at the millennial kingdom. What is it going to be like? I've been kind of in my mind just really imagining the millennial kingdom. And it's really been bringing a lot of excitement to me. I encourage you. I'm not saying we should be so, you know, we're about our Father's business while we're here, but I think you should meditate on the kingdom to come, because with all the darkness and sadness going on in our environment today, it really brings joy. Imagine, all the mountains are going to collapse, the Bible says. Jerusalem will be lifted up, the Bible says, as the main mountain of the world. The earth will be restored. We talked about that. All the trees, all the plants, all the oceans. And we're going to see in a moment the animals all being friendly. Everything's going to be blessed by the Lord. We're going to be going up to Jerusalem for regular feast times every year, celebrating with the Lord and celebrating with other family in the Lord. The Bible says that the horses will be galloping in the streets with bells on them that say, holiness to the Lord. I mean, it's going to be pomp and circumstance and all this excitement, and you're going to be kings and priests. We're going to see that again today. And we've talked about that already. And again, it's when I think about what this is going to be like, it makes it easier to endure what we're going through now, because this is temporary. This is going to pass. This will be an afterthought. And by the time we get there, why do we even worry about, you know, COVID or anything else? We have to be in reality. I get that. But Isaiah chapter 11, verses 5 through 9, listen to what it says. Again, I'm going to start even sooner than that. I'm going to go ahead and read from verse 1. Notice this. He says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. This is the prophecy about Jesus. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteous judgment he shall judge the poor. You can't trick the Lord, in other words. He shall decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. Again, that's when he comes back, and also when he keeps the earth under control by his authority during that time. And with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. I love it. He's wrapped in righteousness and faithfulness. Now look at the description about what's going to be happening during these 1,000 years. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Again, animals will no longer be cursed. They won't be fighting each other. They won't be eating each other. And again, we see here they're going to be very kind with each other, actually getting along with each other, and a child leading them. That shows us that children will be there in the millennial kingdom. Again, those mortals having children, and the kids will be playing with them. We talked about this before. They'll be playing with lions and cobras. And listen to what it says here. It goes on. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. It won't be threatening anymore. It won't be scary. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Again, goes on and talks about all the things that will be happening. That's part of it. I want you to look at another verse. Go now to 65, Isaiah 65. And we're going to look at verses 20 through 25. Talking again about the millennial kingdom and what's going to be happening. Look what it says. Actually, let's start in 17. I like the run and go here. Let's go back even to the new heavens and the new earth. We'll get to that later on in Revelation. In verse 17, he says, "For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people." So he'll be celebrating over us and with us. "The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. No more shall the infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days." Again, we see infants and older here in the millennial kingdom. "For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed." In other words, when somebody dies at 100, we're going to be thinking, wow, they were so young. But again, if they know the Lord, they'll just transfer into their new body. However, that's going to happen, and they'll be with us in the kingdom. "They shall build houses and inhabit them, plant vineyards and eat them. They shall not plant and another inhabit, another eat, for as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people." Again, hundreds of years again. "And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. For they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lion shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord." Now you can turn back to Revelation chapter 20 as we continue on and get ready to look at chapter 20. But I think it was important that we see this introduction as to what the kingdom's going to be like. We're going to be there with the Lord, ruling and reigning, kings and priests. There'll be mortals that are there. When you talk about sin and people that aren't following the Lord, God will rule them with a rod of iron. So will we. That means we'll stop anything that's wrong instantly, if you will. And then later on, we'll have the kingdom where that won't be needed at all. And we'll get to that when we get further on toward the end of the chapter. But let's start. Notice what it says, chapter 20, verse 1. "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." Now notice here, first of all, it says an angel. It doesn't say Michael. It doesn't say Gabriel, which we know are the powerful angels in heaven. One of the cherubim. That might have been one of them. It doesn't tell us who they are. But I find it interesting that the Holy Spirit saw fit not to give us the name of the angel that we would get the point. And that is this. Satan is not that big of a deal. It doesn't say, you know, that he had to send all the forces and all the angels, the two-thirds had to gather around him and corner him, and God had to give him a little bit extra oomph to get him. He said, no, he sent an angel. I mean, just the normal angel, probably Bob comes down. "Hey, Bob, go down and get him." "Sure thing, Lord, here I go." Right? And as Bob shows up, come here, gets him, right? And I think sometimes we build up this whole thing about Satan being so great and so powerful. He is not an equal to God. God is God. He is a created being. Certainly, he's greater than us as humans. You know, when we're in the human form, if we try to fight him in the human form, he would defeat us. But in the spirit realm, with Jesus Christ in us, he's afraid of us. We have more power than he does with the Lord in us. And I love the fact that an angel just comes down, grabs him. Notice having the key to the bottomless pit. I wonder what that key looks like. And a great chain in his hand. So he sees this big chain. I don't know if it's a glowing, bright chain. I'm sure it is. Something that Satan can't break out of. "He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Now again, devil and Satan, we know the meanings of devil and Satan. If you remember, serpent, it means rather deceiver, and slanderer are what the meanings are. And that's what he is. He's a deceiver and he's a slanderer. That's exactly what he does even today. You know, it's amazing. It's very scary to me to see how bold some in our nation are getting to attack the Lord. And it used to be that even the unbeliever, they were afraid to directly, vocally attack the Lord. They might attack his people, they might attack the church, but to come out and attack the Lord, I've noticed a change. We now have those that are not afraid, online or in public, to malign the Lord. And I think, you have no idea what you're saying. I think of the Lord hanging on the cross saying, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And imagine when they stand before him thinking about what they've said and what they've done. Well, this is Satan's backing. Satan is having more levity in the world. He's getting bolder. He's already condemned. He doesn't care what God does to him because he already knows he's condemned. But again, in his condemnation, he's going to be deceiving and slandering through other people. And so notice when he grabs him, he takes this chain, and it says he bound him for 1,000 years. That means to wrap up. I don't know if that means they're going to like just his hands and his feet, or whether or not he's going to just like, you know, pull his wings down to his side and wrap him up like a Christmas tree on top of the car. I don't know what it's going to be, but he's going to wrap him up and he's going to toss him, you know, right into the bottomless pit, the Bible says, for 1,000 years. Now, what is this bottomless pit? Again, I'm going to turn back one more time into Isaiah chapter 14 because I want to read a little bit about what's going to be happening to Satan when he goes in the bottomless pit. But in the bottomless pit, the Bible says in the center of the earth, there is a place called the bottomless pit. And the bottomless pit is a holding tank, if you will, for all the unrighteous until judgment day. And the Bible talks about it. Jesus talks about it in Luke chapter 16. We've discussed it before with the rich man and Lazarus. It has multiple compartments. There was a place called paradise where we know that Jesus went. That's where all the believers went before Jesus died on the cross because they couldn't yet go to heaven. The door had not been opened by his sacrifice on the cross. So they were temporarily held there in some type of supernatural paradise. It's hard for me to imagine a paradise in the center of the earth, but God says there was one. And he told the man on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And we know he didn't ascend to heaven right there. So he took that man with him down there to this compartment called paradise. But next to it, there's another place in this Hades or this compartment that was a place of torment. And that's the place where all the believers are now currently that don't know Christ. Any that die today or in the future that don't know Christ will go there. And that's what the Bible refers to as the bottomless pit. Now, why is it called the bottomless pit? Because the earth is round and the center of it would be round. There's no bottom to that. Hence, the bottomless pit is how God refers to it. Now, what's interesting is when Satan is bound for this 1,000 years, he's going to be thrown in there with everyone else that has been there during that 1,000 years. And Satan has presented himself to all the fallen angels and to others as being this great being that they should all follow and rebel against the Lord with. And yet it's amazing to me when you read how everyone sees him. When he lands, however he's going to land, thrown there into the bottomless pit with everyone else throughout time, all the other murderers, rapists, fallen angels will be thrown in with him, no doubt, because there's not going to be any demonic influence during the millennial kingdom. It's amazing how they view him, and this is really how we need to see him as well. Notice what it says, and I'll read this to you in Isaiah 14, starting in verse 9. Speaking of Satan, it says, "Hell from beneath is excited about you." That's not a good verse. "To meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you." Come on, guys. Hey, he's showing up. Get ready. Almost kind of looks like a mob waiting on him to take abuse out on him. "All the chief ones of the earth, it has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations," that is those that have died without Christ that are down there, the rulers of the world over the centuries. "They shall all speak and say to you," that is to Lucifer, "Have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to Sheol," that is your glory and beauty that you had, "and the sound of your stringed instruments, the maggot is spread under you and the worms cover you. How you've fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you've said in your heart, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north,'" which the Bible says is where God's throne is. "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit." Here's this bottomless pit. "Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, 'Is this the man who made the earth tremble?'"
And just like that, another time at the table of God's Word has come to an end. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of Revelation next time, but you don't have to wait until then to listen to more great Bible studies. You can access this series plus much more at thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. Before we close, we want you to know if you live in the Knoxville area, we invite you to join Pastor Mark and the community of Jesus followers at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For over 20 years, it's been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community and through his radio outreach. There's always a seat for you, Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15. We also meet on Sunday nights at 6 or Wednesday nights at 7. If you can't make it in person, that's not a problem. You can join us online. We're streaming our services through the Way Media app. You can download this from your app store or right from thewaymedia.net. To find out more info on Calvary Knoxville, scroll to the bottom of thewaymedia.net for a link to our church website. Pastor Mark has more to share from the book of Revelation, a fascinating and sometimes mind-boggling book that consists of things from the past and touches on what's to come in the future. One sure way to not be anxious about the things written in Revelation is to fully understand exactly what God's telling us prophetically. So be sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.